Chapter 4, we're going to read verses 12 through chapter 5, verse number 3. All right, that's a little odd. And just so you know, I'll read verse 16 of chapter 4. That means you need to read out loud with me on chapter 5, verse number 1. All right, we're not going to start over with the thing. It's just going to kind of continue as one passage. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 3. Are you ready? Here we go. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, this old world screwed up, messed up. We've got things inside out, upside down, backwards, and we're just living in the filth of our own humanity. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Allow the Word of God to help us. Lord, as a church, help us to focus rightly on the Word of God. Help us to boldly proclaim it so that we can help people around us until Jesus comes. In your name we pray, amen. Here in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews may be my favorite New Testament book. If I could only choose one book of the Bible for the New Testament, and they were going to take everything else away from me as far as the New Testament, I probably would pick the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is just an amazing book. All of the major doctrines are there. It's a compilation and fulfillment of the entire Old Testament put together with the New Testament. It's kind of like a mini Bible. Now, it's not, but that's kind of how it's all put together. I just enjoy the book of Hebrews. That's me personally. Let me start by saying this. America and the vile liberal media is all a flutter due to the Pope showing up. Untold millions of dollars are being spent. Businesses are losing untold millions of dollars in business due to the Pope being here, due to road closures, businesses being shut down, employees not showing up, employees not unable to even get to their jobs because of this. Now, don't you find it a bit odd that a liberal, God-hating press would be for the Pope coming? I wonder what kind of press we would be getting if Jesus were coming to town. Do you think they would be all excited about Jesus coming to town? You see, even our Muslim-loving president, and I'm not sure that he is not one, is going to get in on the act. You see, the Pope is not just a religious figure. Here's what most people do not realize. The Pope leads a country. It's called the Vatican City and the Vatican Country. It is its own country within the walls of Rome. It is the smallest country in the world. But it qualifies him to be a political world leader. It is not just a religious position. It is a political position. position. Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? I think his name is Pope Francis. It amazes me he can change his name to be Pope. It's not his real name. That's just the name he chose. But Pope messes him up, Francis, whatever his name is against capitalism. He is outright spoken against capitalism. Why in the world do we want him here in America? He is an advocate of the global warming community and is upset with those that do not believe in global warming. He is an activist. By the way, he's using it politically to his benefit. Now, why would the Pope be against capitalism and for global warming? Because what you don't realize is this. Did you know that the word Catholic means universal? It means one system. One world system. You look up any definition in any book you want. You look on Google, you look online, you look up the word Catholic. It's ringing just a little bit, Brother Barnes. It's okay. I'll quit walking. Well, maybe I won't. I'm not going to make that promise tonight. You look up any definition of the word Catholic, and it means universal. That means this. They believe any Christian is only a Christian if they belong to the Catholic Church. By the way, any Baptist that teaches that every Christian who gets saved and baptized is part of this invisible universal church, they're believing Catholic doctrine. We do not belong to a universal church. All of the different church people in all of the world don't make up the church. That's Catholic. That's not Bible doctrine. Everybody doing okay? Now, what you may not realize is this. There is a certain protocol if you are to be in the presence of the Pope. Just like there are certain protocols if you were to meet the Queen or meet a King or some big league official. There are certain protocols, some proprieties that you're supposed to do. Now, here's the first thing everyone is told if they are going to meet with the Pope is this. They must bow the knee to the Pope. Your president and her husband will bow the knee. They're going to Andrews Air Force Base to meet him, and they will bow to the Pope. My Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not Papa Francisco. Next, when you address him, when you speak to him, you do not call him Pope, you do not call him Sir, nor do you call him Ma'am. You are to address him as Your Holiness. My Bible says that only God is to be called holy. Huh. If you call him anything else, you literally will be dragged out of his presence, just so you know. You are to call him Your Holiness or His Holiness. You may shake his hand if you're a non-Catholic. If you're a Catholic, you may either shake his hand, but most Catholics choose to kiss his ring. Folks, if I got close enough to kiss a ring, I'm going to bite the stupid finger off. You're supposed to wear dark clothing and formal dress. Up until about Pope John Paul, a man was supposed to wear a tuxedo. But you're supposed to wear dark clothing. You're supposed to have your elbows and your knees covered. And you're supposed to wear dark clothing, what they call grieving clothes or lamenting clothes, to meet the Pope. I understand why they want them lamenting. Mourning clothes. Now, according to the Catholic Church, if you go to their official website, you'll find out that the Pope is the official leader of the, quote, universal church, end quote. Supposedly, This is what they say. Supposedly, the Pope is the direct successor to the Apostle Peter. And Peter, because according to them, I'll show you in Scripture where they're wrong, but according to them, Peter was given the keys of the church by Jesus, and he is the official leader of the church. Now, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. I'm going to begin reading because I got a lot of preaching to do, and I'm going to let you out in 26, 27 minutes. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, not the church. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want you to notice something. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Thou art Peter. The word Peter in Greek is the word Petra or the word Petros. The word Peter or Petros means pebble or a small stone, like a pebble you would get in your shoe. Jesus said, thou art Peter, a pebble, but upon this rock, according to the Bible, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the building and foundation of the church. Peter is not the foundation of the church. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Not El Papa, not Peter. By the way, Peter had a mother-in-law. He was not celibate. If he had a mother-in-law and no wife, he's stupid. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I'm going somewhere. First of all, there is no universal church. Next, the Catholic Church did not begin until the Council of Nicaea in 313 AD. Just so you know, that is approximately 275 years after Peter died. How in the world could Peter lead a church that hadn't existed for 275 years yet? Constantine started the Catholic Church, the leader of the Holy Roman Empire. He started it at the Council of Nicaea because the religious people he did not have control over like he wanted politically, so he incorporated the politics and the religion under one head called the Catholic Church. That's why it was called universal. That way he had universal power. Everybody doing okay? Lastly, Peter was not the head of the church, and neither is the Pope. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not using my words. I'm not using some Baptist doctrine belief book somewhere. I'm using God's words. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Watch this. Even as Christ, not El Papa, is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Now look at me if you will. The Pope is not the vicar of heaven. He is the vicar of hell. Any person who lifts himself up to say, I am in direct relation to Peter and that I am the head of a universal church is arrogant, full of pride, and full of prunes. God said Christ is the head of the church. Now, hang in there. No wonder the Pope said this last week, and I quote, it is dangerous and harmful to look for a relationship with Jesus Christ outside of the universal church. We are not Christians individually, each on his or her own. He warned against those who, quote, who think they can have a personal, direct, immediate relationship with Jesus Christ outside the Catholic Church. We are Christians because we belong to the Catholic Church, not because of Jesus. End quote.
I have but one word for you, Pope Francis. Blasphemy!
That is satanic doctrine.
Yes, sir.
No wonder the press is welcoming the Pope in America. You let a boy or girl stand up and pray in a public school class and watch how fast they get their self kicked out of class. Oh, you can't do that. You might offend somebody. The Pope offends me. By the way, he doesn't like Jesus Christ either. He doesn't want you to have direct access to Jesus. He thinks you belong to him and the church. He wants to rule you, not Jesus. Everybody doing okay? Let me ask you a question. How does he have the audacity to call himself a Christian and not even believe in the Christ for whom he stands? By the way, most of the time, the world doesn't include Catholics as Christians. They'll say, are you Christian or Catholic? Now, wait a minute. How in the world can you claim to be a Christian and deny direct access to Jesus Christ, the one who you are supposed to be like?
Right.
Mr. Pope, you are sending millions of people to hell. 1.2 billion. That's 1,200,000,000 Catholics in our world, if they believe what he said, are going to die and go to hell, and he is sending them there. By the way, why in the world is Peter and Mary more important than Jesus Christ? Answer me, Mr. Pope. Now you know why I won't go see him. They won't let me talk to him. I won't bow my knee. I won't call him His Holiness. I won't do any of that mess. We'll call out doctrine. The Pope is not the high priest. He is not any high priest. Can I say something? Jesus Christ is our high priest. He came to earth to be the Lamb of God, and at Calvary he became the Lamb, the sacrifice for man. And he shed his blood and died. But may I tell you something, brother? When he got up out of that grave 3 days and three nights later, he had the keys of death and hell. He took them from the devil, and he resurrected as your high priest.
Amen.
He got up out of the grave. And Mary saw him, and he said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. Say, why did he say that? Because he had to go to heaven and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And the only person that could do that is the high priest. He went to heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat, and said, Father, it's paid in full. You must accept them if they get saved. All those that did and all those that will, it's paid for in full. I'm the high priest. It's finished. Woo! By the way, guess what? He's still the high priest. El Papa's going to die. Jesus didn't. After he resurrected, he dies no more. Now watch this. When Jesus died, do you know what happened? There was an earthquake. And in that earthquake, the veil in the temple between the holy place and the holy of holies was rent in top, from top to bottom, all the way through. You see, that proved Jesus was the high priest. Because only the high priest, one time a year, could go into the holy of holies. Nobody else. God would kill them. But when the price was paid, God gave direct access to Jesus and to God the Father by what Jesus did, and there was no more need for a high priest, because Jesus was the eternal high priest. That's why the veil in the temple was rent, by the way, top to bottom, not bottom up. Man didn't tear it, God did. Whew. May I say this? You don't need a pope, you need Jesus. I don't need the Pope. I want Jesus. Now, let me say this. Here's where the sermon gets fun. The common man does not have access to the Pope. You and I could never get an audience with him. Never. By the way, Brother Brining said he was going to give me one of his tickets, and I just told him to flush twice so he can get there. Amen? I'm not going. I want you to notice what God said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. One of the sweetest things in Scripture. For we have not an high priest, watch this, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Can I tell you something? You don't need an audience with the Pope. You can talk directly to your high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, God says that Jesus is touched by our feeling. Did you know that God knows how you feel? Do you know that Jesus cares about how you feel? Hey, senior citizen, God cares about your bones that hurt and the unsteadiness and the fears you have. Hey, middle-aged adult, God knows how you feel when the last puppy leaves the nest. Amen. God knows those fears that you face. Hey, those of you that have disease that may never go away, God knows how you feel. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Not only does he know how you feel, he cares about how you feel. Because he can be touched with it. He can be touched with it. Now watch this. The Pope will see hundreds of thousands of people on his tour in the next couple days. He may even kiss a few babies and shake a few hands and wave and smile like the devil himself. Smile like a politician. Anyway. But you know what? He really doesn't care about the individual's feelings. He'll never be touched by those things. But Jesus is. Jesus cares how you feel. The Pope doesn't care if you're sick, but Jesus does. The Pope doesn't care if you've been told you have cancer, heart problems, or that your heart is grieved over someone that's sick or dying, but Jesus does. He has a position where he says he cares, but he's not reachable. He's not touchable. But Jesus is. Jesus is your high priest. Not only does Jesus know how you feel, but Jesus cares how you feel. Right. He wants to take a personal interest in your heartache, your pain, and your infirmity. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus knew how you felt before you felt it. Because he was there before. Now let me give you three or four things and I'll be done. Number one, Jesus cares about your infirmity. The word infirmity means frailty, feebleness, disease, sickness, or weakness. Whew. Brother Gus, God cares when you don't think you can keep going. Alan, God cares when you just don't know if you're going to make it and your heart's broke. God knows how you feel. And he cares. Brother Ron, God knows what kind of pain you're going through. And he cares. El Papa doesn't. He doesn't give a rip. But Jesus does. I go across this whole room. Can I tell you something? It's not pity. He cares. He cares. Folks, I long to care for your needs. I joked about my phone ringing at 3:22 this morning, but my wife said, honey, you really love people if you don't get mad at them for that. I do. I didn't get mad. I was glad that person felt they could call their preacher at 22 minutes after 3 saying they were sick and not going to be in church. They had enough character to call me to say they weren't in church. Now, I wish they would pick a better time. But you know what? I'm not mad. You know what that call said to me? They love me, and they know I love them. I'll take that. I'm not God. Oh, I know I'm not God. But I long to love you as much as I can like he does. I long to care like he does. God cares about your infirmities. Number two, Jesus is touched by your feelings. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Jesus was here, and we have the same feelings that God has because God gave us our feelings. And we were created in his image. Did you know it's not wrong to be happy? Did you know it's not wrong to be sad? Did you know at times it's not wrong to be angry? Did you know that Jesus made a cat of nine tails, made a whip, walked into the temple and chased out the money changers and kicked over the tables because he was ticked off? He said, "You bunch of wild reprobates," he said, "you've taken the house of prayer and turned it into a money-making scheme. Get out of here." I like that. No wonder the government doesn't like him. I can't picture the Pope in his dress doing that, can you? Jesus has felt every emotion you could ever experience. Say, oh, how could he know what it's like to lose a father? He had to leave his father in heaven. Well, how does he know how to feel if I'm struggling financially? He had not a home. He had not a place to lay his head. He left the glory of heaven to come here on earth and be homeless. He knows what it's like to be dead broke. He cares about your feelings. But listen to this. He showed us how to live so that our feelings didn't control our lives. In spite of how he felt, he still did what he was supposed to do. I've heard a lot of preachers mispreach this. Oh, Jesus was in the garden praying and he was afraid to die. He didn't want to die. That's a bunch of bunk. He had waited over 4,000 years to die. Well, he said, he prayed in the garden, "Father, if it be so, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He wasn't asking God to keep him from dying. He was sweating blood. His body was as close to death as a human being could be. And he said, "God, I feel like I'm about to die right now. I need to make it to Calvary. But if you want me to die now and we start this process over, I'll do it. But would you let me make it to the cross?" He wasn't asking not to die. He was asking to make it to Calvary like he had authored before. He wasn't afraid to die. He knew what death was. He knew he was going to conquer it. He had lived on earth for that. He wasn't afraid of it. Feelings. Have you ever known a feeling to be wrong? You know, fellas, you come home and you think she's in a good mood. But a little later you find out your feeling wasn't right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, just feeling a little lonely up here. Help me, fellas. You liar. Did you ever get this feeling something bad's going to happen, and it didn't happen? But you had a feeling. Too many people live by their feelings. That's charismatic garbage. That's Jimmy Swaggart and Tammy Faye Faker and all those others. Amen? Folks, we're not supposed to live by our feelings. Your feelings can be wrong. My feelings can be wrong. Feelings are circumstantial. We're supposed to live by principle. Feelings are based on what's happening around you. We're supposed to live by principle, whether our feelings feel like doing it or not. Everybody doing okay? I don't always feel like doing what I'm supposed to do. But guess what? Principle says I do it. Feelings. Everybody listen to me. Feelings can even be generated by things that aren't real. Oh, my grandfather died 30 years ago, and I believe he spoke to me. You had bad pizza last night. He did not speak to you. I'm here to shout. Well, I just had this feeling. Okay, you generated something that wasn't real. Just so you know. Maybe the Holy Spirit gave you a confirmation of something, but your great-grandpa from years gone by you never met didn't talk to you last night, just so you know. If he did, you got problems. Jesus and I do care about your feelings. But listen to this. When the preacher says quit living by your feelings and live by principle, don't get mad at the preacher. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus told us to do. Your feelings are not bad, but when you let your feeling control you, guess what? If I would have listened to my feelings, I would have never disciplined my children. I never one time enjoyed disciplining one of my children. And there was times it really hurt me. But guess what? I put my feeling aside and did what I was supposed to do. I was principal in a school. Sometimes it was hilarious. I wished you knew some of the funny things kids do. They'll say something, and I'd have my principal face on. They'd do something, and I'd say, hang on just a minute. I'd walk out of my office, shut the door, walk around the corner, and go, and I'd laugh. I couldn't laugh in the kid's presence because then I was going to blow the moment, amen? But I couldn't control the emotion anymore. I had to go out, get myself together. Okay, put the principal face back on. All right, now, here we go. And after it was over, I'm sitting at my desk just going, ha, 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 ha. It was funny. I mean, I've been through some pretty funny situations. But I couldn't allow my feelings to control that. Everybody doing okay? All right. Number three, Jesus is our high priest. The Pope pretends to be. If you look at the Catholic Church, they base their priesthood on something called, and I'm going to use a big college word. I spent tens of thousands of dollars to use a word like this, on the Levitical priesthood. Aren't you impressed? The Levitical priesthood is the Old Testament priesthood. And the tribe of Levi was the tribe that God used to be the priest of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. Now, listen to this very carefully. They base it because God used that Old Testament tabernacle pointing ahead at what Jesus was and what he would do. Let me ask you a question. What tribe was Jesus from? Judah. Can I tell you why? Because the book of Hebrews tells us there would be people who would copy the Old Testament Levitical priesthood and follow it and not believe Jesus. They would believe in the priesthood. God gave us a new priest out of a tribe that was not the priestly tribe. That's why it was called a New Testament. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to show you in the book of Hebrews here in a second. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament priesthood as our high priest. He sprang up out of Judah, a very unlikely candidate for the priesthood because it was the eternal priesthood. Not the earthly priesthood. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 7. I'm going to read very quickly a fairly long section of scripture here. You follow along. I'm going to start in verse number 11. You ready? If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood, as it is yet far more evident, for after this the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law was made nothing perfect, or for the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Skip down to verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not the daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, excuse me, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forever. Whew. Chapter 8, verse number 1, very quickly. Now, of things spoken, we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example, a shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make things according to the pattern showed thee in a mount. I'm going to stop right there. Jesus is the high priest. Not El Papa. Now, Jesus paid our sin debt in full. He died as the Lamb, resurrected as the high priest, and he paid the price himself. Now watch this. Every man is given the responsibility to either accept or reject it. You cannot earn it yourself. Jesus already paid it. Jesus already paid the price. By the way, he paid it in full. I don't care how many candles you burn. I don't care how many confessionals you go to and tell the dude on the other side that's half smashed out of his brain from too much communion wine, all the things you did. I don't care how many beads you count, how many Hail Marys you say. I don't care how many people you pray for that died years and years and years and years ago. They don't go to heaven by what you do. You go to heaven by trusting what Jesus Christ did, and you are personally responsible to do it. This work salvation garbage out there says, well, I need to earn it. You can't. You're a sinner, bound for hell. Only Jesus Christ could pay for it. He did it for you. Now you accept it. If you don't, you'll be just like the devil, reject it, and go to hell. Now don't get mad at me. I didn't say it. God did. But you don't need El Papa to absolve your sins. He can't. They can put the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Cow, or whatever they want under your tongue. I don't care if it dissolves or not. You're going to die and go to hell if you're not saved. You're going to die and go to heaven if you are saved. Doesn't matter what they put under your tongue. There's no such thing as last rites. Last rites means this. You get saved before you suck your last breath here on earth. That's it. I will not give the name of a man.
He was very well known in this area. Brother Brining, if I gave it, I know you know the man personally. He was part of our political system here in Berkeley County. He died here in the last few years. Several bouts of different types of cancers. Ellen's smiling at me. She knows who it is. I struck up a friendship with him. Years. I went to his hospital room one day. He was Catholic. His wife was really Catholic. He was Catholic only because she was Catholic. But he had to be because he had to live with her. One of those kind. I had witnessed to him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him, Brother Ray. He was pretty bad shape. And I looked at him and I said, Doc, if you died, you know you're going to hell. We've talked about this. Wouldn't you like to know you're going to heaven? I said, you want me to shut the door? I went and shut the door. I pulled the curtain. He said, can you do it fast before my wife gets here? I said, yes, sir. I walked that man down the Romans Road, watched that well-known, very wealthy man and very influential in this area bow his head on his hospital bed at University Hospital, at that time City Hospital, and got saved. This is no lie. Less than 20 seconds after he said amen, I had my New Testament out, and I heard the door creak. And his eyeballs got big, and I went. And the curtain came back, and there was his wife. The angels held her up. Amen. She said, I don't know what took so long. I was here. That elevator took almost 5 minutes for me to get up here. He looked at me, and I said, oh, I am so sorry, ma'am. And I looked at him and went. When that man died, I got word through the newspaper that, and the news had it all over that he had passed away. And I looked up and said, man, am I glad you got saved. Amen. Some Catholic priest did his funeral, but he didn't know what he was talking about because he was in heaven. Can I tell you something? Had he not gotten saved before he died, he'd be in hell right now. Yeah. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want the Pope sending anybody there, the President, and I don't want me sending anybody there. It's my job to tell everybody what the gospel is. It's their responsibility to do something with it, not mine. Yeah. All I can do is deliver it. Folks, we have an high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. Don't get all enthralled about the Pope. Don't get too mad. It hasn't changed in about 1,700 years, 1,703 years. Just so you know, they've rewritten their own Bible. It's out of Latin, the Latin Vulgate. They've added books to it. They've taken things out of it. It's not the real Bible. They don't even believe the same Bible. They can't because they don't believe Jesus is important. Mary and Peter are in the Pope, not, it sounds like some rock group, Mary, Peter, and the Pope, amen, or something like that. Some of you I struck a note with. I know there's something out there about Mary and who is it, Ron? You probably know. Yeah, right. Your nose is big enough to scratch from here. What was it, Mike? Peter, Paul, and Mary. That's a dumb name for a rock group. So it's Peter, Mary, and the Pope. Amen. Can I tell you something? We all this froof. I wonder if the press would be as excited if Jesus came to town. Well, let's take Jesus to him. How about? It's our responsibility. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I am not angry. I don't have a bad attitude, except against bad doctrine. But I wonder, for all up in arms and all upset, can I tell you something? Your high priest cares about how you feel. Jesus cares about your feelings. He cares about your sickness, your infirmity, your grief, your pain. He cares about it all. I wonder how much time you spent with him, though. He gave you direct access. Some of you are treating Jesus like the Pope, that you cannot touch him, but you can.